Ephesians chapter 4, we're starting at verse 17, and I'm not even going to speak out of Ephesians 4, but I want to get a huge context, okay? It's like a machine gun of imperatives, if you will, things that God commands us to do. Oftentimes what Paul does in the epistles is he'll explain doctrine for much of the book. In Ephesians, it's three chapters of doctrine. There's nothing you're told to do. And then he shifts over to Ephesians chapter 4, and it's just full of imperatives, full of commands. He takes the doctrine and he applies it. We're not even looking at the doctrine tonight so much as just picking up some context before we get into chapter 5. I'm actually going to read all the way down to chapter 5, verse 21. Okay, so I might as well have handed out a Bible tonight instead of putting it in notes. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 4. And even then, there's a therefore, right? He's building on other stuff. So I had to keep backing up and backing up. But if I need to decide, I'll start here. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. I don't know why, but those three occur in the same order, twice in chapter 5. Those three general categories of sin. See if you can catch them when we get there. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul keeps building. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, here's that list, the first time it's fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no, and here's the list again, fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man. Those are the three same words. Nor a covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This has got to be one of the more sobering passages that you can read. There's so much there. What I want to highlight is a couple different things. One is just an observation. I translated the first 21 verses of chapter 5 again today, just so I could get a good handle on the passage. As an observation, I found those three words that kept occurring, But also, one thing I want to highlight before I get to my main passage here is not only are there commands to do something, but there are commands to stop doing things. In Greek, there's called conditional clauses. It depends on what it is, or imperatives. The idea of how it's stated, the type of negation, the word no or not that comes in front of it, tells you what kind of imperative, negative imperative it is. Six times, just in chapter 5 alone, Paul tells the Ephesians to stop doing something. And these can be understood as either continue to not be doing this, or because you're doing it, stop doing it. I'm of the opinion, because people are people, and the fact that what Paul is saying here, I believe he's telling them that they still have room to grow. There are things that they are doing that they need to stop doing. And I want to challenge you, as one of the ideas or concepts tonight, as you enter this new year, consider that there are things that you need to stop doing, and there are things that you need to start doing. Even the Church of Ephesus, which was probably one of the more mature congregations, needed to grow. They needed to stop some things, and they needed to start doing some things. All of these commands that are stop are present tense imperatives. So keep stopping, or stop it, be stopping, continually stop, right? Don't let yourself do this again. And I'm going to highlight these before I go to the passage I really want to get to tonight. The first one that I want to highlight, these are the six stops that Paul tells them to stop. I'm not highlighting all the commands. There's multiple positive commands too. But it's found in verse 3. It says, this is my translation, but sexual immorality. It's the word porneia. That's the, what is it called? Fornication is translated in the New King James. But sexual immorality and uncleanness, we get catharsis or purge. Cauterize, right? Medical term. They do that to close a wound, but to do it in a way that prevents infection. To cauterize, you seal it with heat usually. But uncleanness, any form of uncleanness, or covetousness. And then it says, stop letting it be named among you. And he brings it up two more times, once in the previous chapter, once more in the next portion of chapter 5. And notice what he says there, among you, just, how does it say it, the non-trans, as it is fitting for saints, as it is appropriate for saints, just as it is fitting for holy ones. There is no business in which a believer should be involved in sexual immorality, viewing sexual immorality, or participating in sexual immorality. If you understand the culture of the Romans at that time, that was standard conduct, sexual immorality was. Paul is saying, stop, because it is not appropriate for believers to have any interaction with sexual immorality. It's not fitting for holy ones. Okay? Also, he says uncleanness, which could be anything else. That's a more of a general term, but anything considered lewd or unclean, morality-wise, or even he talks about even coarse jesting later on, that could be that idea, even that talk. And then he says even covetousness. We are not to be people that focus on money or stuff. Covetousness is a heart idea. It is reflected in how we give. Because if you don't give, I would suggest that you have a covetous heart already. Because God commands us to give, right? But also in how we look at our stuff. Is stuff something that we hold on to or something that we let go of? Okay? Paul tells them to stop. Now down in verse 6, it's interesting, but in verse 6 he says this in chapter 5, let no one deceive you with empty words. And he literally says this, stop being deceived with empty words. Here's the truth. I've spent 3 chapters telling you the truth. Now you need to stop listening or being deceived by empty words. Listen, just because someone says it does not make it true. And if I can add, just because it's on the internet does not make it true. It's the same word, by the way, that we looked at on our Christmas message where Jesus emptied himself. Kenos. They're empty words. Just because something is said does not make it true. And we need to stop being deceived by truly fake news and fake truth that really isn't truth at all, right? What's the measure of truth? The Word of God. Have I suggested in any type of strong words that we need to be in the Word of God? Because that is the only way you can measure what you're hearing with the truth. Right? He says, stop being deceived by empty words. And he says this, for on account of these is coming the wrath of God on the sons of the disobedience, really, literally. And it's interesting, but I didn't do a word study. I've done this before, but the word for obey your pastors in Hebrews 13, obey those that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, is the positive form. This just has an A in front of it. It's not the word for obey so much as it's the word that you're unwilling to be persuaded. You're unwilling to be led. Okay? You're unwilling to trust. And this is in relationship to God and His truth. The sons of disobedience. Stop being deceived. Verse 7 here. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And it says here, stop being partakers. Are you, and I'm asking this as a fair question, I'm not being arrogant. Are you partaking with the world? Are you sharing in sexual immorality, uncleanness, covetousness, or other such things? The Bible identifies those as against God. And he says, stop being partakers with them, sharers with them. Stop being partners with the world. Paul tells them that. He commands them that. Listen, God expects us, God desires us, God commands us not to be like the world. He says in the next verse, there's not a stop there, but he says, for you were being formerly, this is my translation here, for you were being formerly darkness, but now light in the Lord. And he says, now that you're light, what does he tell them to do? Walk like you're children of light. Walk like you are. Walk like you know the truth. And I'm telling you, I'm urging you to evaluate your life and see what you need to stop. Because the Ephesians needed to stop being partners with the world. Why do I feel so urgent about this? Because I am seeing my own life in this passage. I think it is so hard to live in our day and not be caught up and consumed by the world. What do we need to? Yes, stop. And I'm saying this anecdotally. I don't survey people. I don't evaluate people. I just think the world has become the church, and the church has become the world. The church has lost their holiness because they refuse to stop what is not fitting for saints. Here's three more. Verse 11 says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. There's a negative command and a positive one. The negative command is stop having fellowship with the works of the unfruitful, of the darkness. That's my translation. But rather be reproving them. We're to be revealing what's wrong rather than fellowshipping with what's wrong. And it's the word, we know the word koinonia. It's just has a S-U-N on the front, fellowshipping with. You're having in common with the world, Paul says to the Ephesian believers. And he says, stop. The next stop is found in verse 17. Verse 17 says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And he says, stop being senseless. I use a different term because the word senseless, because phronos is thinking. So stop, and it is the word actually becoming senseless in a continual way. Stop operating without thinking and instead be understanding what the will of the Lord is, what He tells us we are to be doing. The last stop is the next one. This is interesting. It might bother some people to find out that probably some of the people in the church at Ephesus were not teetotalers. So stop being drunk with wine. Remember the wine of that day? You had to drink for quite a while to get your buzz, to get drunk. How could you be drunk in the morning? And normally that's unusual because you'd have to drink all day to be soused. Okay? Well, that was part of the issue. Now listen, is there anything controlling you? Because that's what the Bible is referencing here. It goes on to say, stop being drunk with wine, in which is, what's excess? It's the word wasteful. What do you do that is wasting time and attention? Paul tells them, stop. It's no different than being drunk. You're just wasting rather than understanding what the desire of the Lord is. Now, I want to look. Those are the six stops. By the way, that encourages me because I don't feel like I'm reading the Bible with all these super saints and then Kevin's over here. There's no super saints in the Bible. They wrestled with stuff. And they were commanded to what? Stop. Right? Now I want the passage that I was attempting to research, but I kept having to go backwards farther and farther, was verses 15 through 17, which fits well for tonight. It says here, and you've probably heard this before, you know, this passage talked about, "See then that you walk circumspectly." We had the whole background of all the things that, for this reason, on account of this, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. That's the context of this. So then he says, he commands them, and I'm going to write this down literally here. It's not hard. Be seeing. It's a present tense imperative. So I'm going to do my present tense imperative sign. The squiggly is present tense and the exclamation point is an imperative. And I was a little bit surprised. Of course, there's a therefore. I don't know how, I haven't counted how many therefores are there. But there, he keeps just piling on. Like I said, he's just like, okay, now we've talked about what God has done. This is what you need to be doing, and this is what you need to stop doing. Over and over again. Right? And there's more positive imperatives than the six stop imperatives too, right? So that he's more positive than negative. But he says, be seeing, therefore, carefully. Now, usually I've understood the passage, and even the way it's been translated. See then that you what? Walk what?
Circumspectly.
Which is kind of confusing, really. But the command here is be seeing. It's the first word you ever learn in Greek. Blepo is to see. But it can mean to examine. But it says be seeing, and it seems like the carefully modifies seeing rather than walking. So examine very carefully what? How you are walking. It's a present tense. So that I just put my little squiggly there just so you know. Walking, and you see this over and over. I think it's commanded four or five times in chapters 4 and 5. Any Ephesus. But it's two words put together. It's peripateo. Pateo, the pitter pateo, the pat, the walking. It's this to walk, right? So that means walk. Pateo. What's this mean?
Walk.
To walk, right? What's peri then? Walk around. Okay? So peripateo then means to, as you're walking around. Okay? That would be a woman walking.
Don't walking around.
I just had to say that.
The one that don't ask correctly.
Well, they know where they're going.
That.
I don't know why I came up with that. I better shut up. Let's move on, shall we? But the idea of walking is as you're going about your life, God intends to impact wherever you go. Where have you been today? And I don't need a list. I've been in my office and my kitchen, pretty much, today, right? Did I go outside at all? I don't think so. Oh, I did. I came here. I've been to church, so. Okay? But God says wherever you walk is the idea. As you're walking around, it's not a certain building. It's not when you're wearing a certain outfit. It's wherever you walk. Dr. Kober calls himself the peripatetic professor. How you are walking. Look carefully how you are walking. And he gives you only two possible choices. I like easy. Right? I like easy. Don't give me 100 options. Give me two. God gives you only two possibilities here. Not as foolish. And that's an adjective, so it's an implied ones. Not as foolish ones, but as wise ones. How do we know what these mean? Yeah, he's just spent chapter 4 and part of chapter 5 telling you what foolish looks like, living by the lust of your flesh, living by the wrong things, don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, he says. Walking in darkness is foolishness. Ignoring what God says in the Bible is foolishness. He says, be looking carefully, examine very carefully, and in an ongoing way. It never stops. We need to constantly be looking how we're walking. Are we being foolish or are we being wise? What's the third option? There are only two options. That was a trick question. Thank you, Jesus. So, let me ask you this. You're either one or the other. Are you ignoring what God says? And He says you have to walk in the light to be wise. You have to walk according to the Word of God. And that means stopping, among other things, at least six things. Or you're what? Foolish. This is like seminary level slap in the face stuff here. This isn't, you know, the soft gloved Apostle John, my little children, these things I write to you that you might not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father Jesus. No, he's like, smack, stop, smack, stop. Seriously. That's the way it comes across. We are children of light. We are to be what? Walking as children of light. And if we're not being careful with how we're walking, we are being foolish and we're walking just like the Gentiles. And what he means by Gentiles, just like unsaved people. We're walking in darkness rather than the light that we have. And it's the Word of God that gives us the light. And he's very descriptive on what to do and what not to do, even in this passage. And you only have two choices. You're either wise and not by your definition. Or you're foolish and not by your definition. Not by the world's definition. You're wise as defined by God if you do what God says. And it's a lifestyle. Walking around. Not something you do at church. Or only certain times. It's when you're home alone. It's what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're wearing, what you're doing with your time. We'll get to that here. That's the next part here. Carefully watching, be looking at, examining all the time how you are walking around, not as foolish ones, ignoring what God has said. And he's very descriptive again in chapter 4 and 5. But as wise ones, putting off, putting on, all of that. Interesting. Buying out the time. It's not buying up. Because you can't buy up time. Save a minute and put it in your pocket. Or however you want to buy it up. You can't. The idea is that you are using your time as God would have it, or you're being what? Foolish. What do you need to stop so that you're not foolish but rather wise? By the way, the word time, there's two Greek words for time, maybe more, but I know two for sure. There's chronos. It's like, what time is it kind of thing. And there's kairos. This one is kairos. And it could be translated season or opportunity. God wants you to use the season that He has given you, the dash, right? From the time you're born, year whatever, to the time you die is your season. And God wants you to make the most of that season. And we are a culture of time wasters. Now listen, let's keep going here because He gives a reason here. Because, why? What's the big deal? What in your text?
Days are evil.
The days are evil are being, literally. That's the way I translate it. You wouldn't probably want to read it that way. But it emphasizes the word evil, but it's also present tense. The more you waste time and don't stop what you need to stop. And by the way, if you're not, it takes stopping to start things. Fair? You can't live in sin and live in righteousness. You can't buy out your time and also waste your time. Right? Okay? Carefully be looking at how you're walking all the time. Measuring whether you're walking foolishly or wisely. And by the way, we can know, absolutely we can know, because God has defined it for us. There's no question. And we need to be making the most of the opportunity that we have. And it's not like multitasking, the idea, well, I can like brush my teeth while I'm listening to the news while I'm jogging in place. It's not really that idea. It's not leveraging all of the time like that. It's using the time the way God defines, as opposed to wasting your time the way He tells you to stop. He doesn't really care if you're brushing your teeth and running in place. I've never tried to do that, by the way. It sounds dangerous. God says redeeming the time, buying out the time, is living for Him on His terms, by His definition. And that means you're stopping, not living like the rest of the world. And my question to you, and this is an open question, you might write down and think about it. How am I different than the world around me? Because if there's not significant difference, there's some major stoppage that needs to happen so that good things can start. If we're just like the world, we have missed God's point. The days are evil. In an ongoing way, they're evil. You cannot do what God wants you to do, and you cannot become what God wants you to become if you're wasting His time, the time that He has given you in this life to live for Him. Verse 17, and I think I'm just going to... I'll write it down, literally. On account of this, on account of the days are evil, if you will, I'm going to put it this way. Stop becoming. That's the command here, is the becoming word. And then the word is senseless. And by the way, it's a constant choice to do thoughtless things. But, in contrast, be understanding. This is another command. Present tense, ongoing command. This is also a present tense ongoing command, but it's negative, right? So it's stop becoming senseless. But be understanding what? What the, and I'll translate the word, desire of the Lord is. Whose desire are you living for? I tell you, I got to admit that I hate studying the Bible at times. Even though I love it, but I hate it. It's not the work. I like words and I like translating, and I'm just like, I'm usually working on it until I have to get ready. sometimes after I should get ready. And I spent most of the afternoon on this. But I don't like it because sometimes it's very hard to chew. I cannot relay adequately what this passage has done to me today. Because there is so much here, and I'm like, Lord, I think we need to be in Ephesians pretty soon. You know, I do that with every book I'm in, I think. Because there's so much here that we absolutely need in order to walk with God over and over. I think he commands us 5 different times to walk in different ways. Walk as children of light, walk in love, don't walk as the Gentiles walk. Walk as children of light, did I already say that one? But anyway, I'm wrestling with even the idea, as busy as I am, I'm like, you know what, Kevin? You waste a lot of your time. You are not buying up the opportunities that God has given you, or the opportunity. But from the time God wakes me up in the morning until the time he puts me to bed. And I'm suggesting maybe the same is true with you. There's things that need to stop. And I'm not the one telling you. God is. And I don't even know. I don't have a list for you. I have a list for me. I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to live like I'm still in darkness. I don't want to live a mediocre Christian life that has little impact. And I don't want to lead a family that way. And I don't want to lead a church that way. So I'm going to do my best to work in this direction. Because it's not how much I can do at one time. I think my kids think I'm crazy because I'm multitasking. Half the time, if we've watched a movie, I'm working on something else or some things else. That isn't really what we're talking about here. It might be not watching the movie. But I want to make the most of it. And that's what this is telling us. That's the way to be wise. Because there's no reason to waste our lives, the time that God has given us. And I want to encourage you to look very carefully at how you are walking and figure out what you need to stop so you can start doing what God wants you to do. Questions or comments?